Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Monmouth Hawks football with a look back at this past weekend's game and ahead at what's coming up next. Live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End section of Long Branch, here's Matt Harmon and Coach Cal on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
I guess you could say it's a bit of the first day of really cold weather as it hits through the area, and we're nice and cozy back here at Jack's Goal Line Stand in the back room in the West End of Long Branch. Matt Harmon, Kevin Callahan on the Monmouth University Football Show. Hawks coming off a loss this past week, 52-21, to the number one team in the country, Coastal Carolina. And as we do each and every week, we break down last week's game, look ahead to this week's game, final one of the 2014 regular season. Gardner Webb will be in town up from North Carolina to take on MU. That is a 12 o'clock kickoff, by the way, this Saturday afternoon at Monmouth Stadium. Both teams will be looking for their first win in league play. Good show on tap tonight. We'll talk to fifth-year senior quarterback Greg DePue, who had his first start ever as a college quarterback this past week against Coastal Carolina. Threw a couple of touchdown passes, 258 yards. We'll talk things over on the defensive side of the ball with Dan Sullivan, the Manasquan, New Jersey native, and spend some time looking ahead to this upcoming basketball season, which kicked off last Friday night down in Morgantown, West Virginia. Fourth-year head coach King Rice is here to give us some time here tonight. Coach, good evening to you, and I would imagine this morning on the practice field, just a little bit chilly, right?
There was an Arctic blast out there this morning, Matt, coming right out of the northwest, and thank God it was sunny out there, but it was a frigid day, the first one of the year. But I will say this, I thought our players handled it extremely well. The way the wind was blowing and with the temperatures down in the low 30s, the wind chill was probably mid-20s out there, but I thought our players were very focused, and we got an awful lot of very good positive work done today.
Well, let's talk about last week a little bit. Coastal Carolina, we knew what they were going in, and Coach, as you saw them live and in person after all the film breakdown, I would say this. That's probably the best way to describe them. They, you know, going back to the old NFL line, they are who we thought they are. They are a very good football team.
They are a very good football team. And I think the thing that jumped out at me, and I think most of us who were there, Matt, was, you know, the team speed. You know, we knew they were a very talented team. They had excellent schemes on both offense and defense. But they had tremendous team speed. And, you know, on the offensive side, they had so many weapons. They had three receivers that were a threat anytime the ball got near them. They had a very talented running back. The quarterback is the best quarterback that we've seen all season. And, you know, when you put all those things together, they were really able to stress certain points of our defense in a variety of ways. And, you know, I thought going into the game that our game plan was going to try to slow them down and take certain things away from them. And I thought we were successful in doing that. But as good teams do, they found other ways to counteract what you were taking away. You know, receiver, one of the receivers had a great day against us. He was their number three guy going into the game. Had a terrific game against us, and the quarterback just pulls it all together for them, and they're an excellent, excellent football team. And on the defensive side, you know, we knew they were very quick, and, you know, I guess you don't realize what that team speed is until you see it at ground level on the field, how fast they really are. They don't stay blocked. They're very aggressive in their schemes. They come after you with a lot of pressure and a lot of blitzes, and we knew it was going to be important to stay ahead of the chains on that night, and, you know, we weren't always able to do that.
When you think about the game overall, I mean, I think it's easy to point to the fast start that they had. I mean, it is pretty difficult to play them regardless, but going up 21-0 early on in the second quarter after a couple of first quarter scores, and you just got the sense that though with Monmouth basically trying to battle from that point, it is so hard to come from behind against a good team like that.
It certainly is, and you know, it was I knew there was going to be an adjustment period as we started that game just to get used to their speed and how quickly they were doing things. And you know, by the time we got used to their speed, you look at the scoreboard, it's 21-0. I thought we did a good job coming back and making it 28-14 at the half, got ourselves back in striking distance, and then it was important that we come out and have a very productive second half. And, you know, we just weren't able to overcome that differential at the halftime weren't able to get the drives on offense or the stops on defense to get ourselves back in that game in the second half.
Neil Sterling had a good day, 8 catches, 136 yards, and with catch number 5 on the day, he moves as the number one man now in all-time receptions in Monmouth football history. Had a couple of touchdowns as well. And, you know, you hate to say taking positive out of negatives, but as some of these guys wind down their career with one more to go, and he is one of them, you can kind of look at that moment and put a little star next to it and say, even in a loss, a little recognition for what has been an amazing career.
Well, without a doubt, I think it was great to see Neil achieve that milestone. He's had a great career for us, and now in his fifth year, to have a game that they, like he had against a defense like that, against the number one team in the nation, I think it speaks highly of what he's done for us. But as you said, you know, when you look at the positives, Matt, and that's exactly what we did as a coaching staff as we viewed this game. You know, no one is happy with the defeat. No one was happy with the final score. But there were a lot of positives that occurred during this game, and I thought you saw our guys step up to the level of competition. You saw that we have the ability to make plays against a team that's the number one team in the nation, although we didn't make as many as we needed to win the game. I thought there were so many positives. And, you know, the play of Greg DePue at the quarterback position, the first time that he's played a full game for us here at Monmouth, I thought did a very, very good job in that game. And I was very happy to see that. And, you know, what it did, what it also showed us is where we have to continue to improve, where we have to continue to develop to be a team like Coastal Carolina.
When you think about it, I mean, Monmouth had played 4 league games now, including that one, Presbyterian, Charleston Southern, and Liberty. To me, watching it from upstairs in the box, there is a notable difference between the first 3 teams and what we saw on Saturday. Coastal is just that much better, it looks like, than everybody else in the league.
They're on a different level, and it was funny, Matt. The week before when we played down at Liberty and I thought played an excellent game, you know, I thought that, okay, you know, we're close because Coastal and Liberty are going to be very comparable. As we got on the field with Coastal on Saturday night, Coastal's at a different level. They've got players in every position that can make plays. I talked about what they have on offense and how many weapons and how they have the ability to spread the field and pick and choose where they're going to go and which defender they're going to pick on. And on the defensive side, they close to the ball so fast, as athletic teams do. They don't stay blocked. They run extremely well. They make it very, very difficult. There was times on Saturday night that I thought, wow, we got a little something going here, and it looks like we've got a good run breaking. Next, I look up, it's for -1, that they recovered that quickly.
The facility that they have down there, and Monmouth obviously trying to build to that point with hopefully something in the works over the course of the next, I'll say near future. I think that's a good way to say it. I mean, what they have done is basically kind of, I think, lay out the blueprint a little bit, Coach, for a lot of teams at the FCS level to say, here's what you can be. You know, I feel like when we went down there several years ago, I guess it's maybe 5 years ago at this point, you almost had the sense that they were among those teams that would, you know, get themselves in a good position and then make that jump into the FBS level. But I think even from talking to people down there, I had some time to spend with some of their broadcast people, they're pretty happy just where they are, and they basically have created this model that so many teams can now emulate if they really wanted to.
Well, they're very happy with their niche in the FCS level. As a matter of fact, they have no desire to even schedule FBS opponents. They're very excited about what they're doing. We've seen since the last time we were there in 2009, they've put $10 million into a football facility in the end zone, a football-only building. They have a great venue, a great facility to play football in. And you know what? They started football 10 years after we started it here in Monmouth. Their first year was 2003, and all this has happened in the last 12 years. That stadium, the end zone building, and the way they're playing football right now. So they've really taken the accelerated path, and it's showing dividends. They're the number one team in the country. They're going to be the number one seed in the FCS playoffs, and that's someplace that Monmouth can be in the very near future if we follow their blueprint.
52-21, the final score. Put a cap on that one. Take our first timeout. We'll make it a 60-second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the game from the quarterback's perspective. Fifth-year senior Greg DePue will give us some time. We'll take a quick pause here. We're back with more of the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Back to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Back here at Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End, the final time this year is next week. We'll be on location in another spot. We'll talk about that in a little bit towards the end part of the show. But as we welcome in fifth-year senior Greg DePue, who was 22 of 38 in his first collegiate start, 258 yards and two touchdowns. Greg, I want to talk about the process. First of all, nice to have you on the show. How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
When you found out, you know, it was kind of those back and forth times. You know, Brandon Hill, who was dealing with turf toe, is he going to be able to play? Is he not going to be able to play? I know you took all the snaps during the course of the week with the first unit. Was it difficult for you to get prepared to know whether or not you were going to actually play, or at some point were you fairly confident this is going to be my game?
It wasn't that difficult. I mean, early in the week, we weren't sure how Brandon was going to be, if he was going to be able to play or not. But going in the week, I was preparing like I was going to start. And if I didn't, then that was that. But I was making sure I did whatever I could to make sure I was prepared to play the game against Coastal.
When you think back at it now, a couple days removed from that, and we talked about it during the course of the broadcast, and Coach just referenced it here in our opening segment, I mean, overall, I'm sure there's things as you look back at it and say, boy, I wish I could have done that a little bit better and wish I could have done this a little bit better. But overall, were you fairly happy with the way that you played?
Yeah, I was happy. I mean, after the game, I had a lot of people coming up to me telling me how well I did. And I didn't think I did too well. There were some plays. I mean, every game you got some throws when you wish you could have took a couple back. But overall, I was happy with the experience. I mean, it was great to get a chance to go in there and play and start for this team. I've been here for 5 years, and to get my first start, it was against the number one team in the country. It was pretty cool experience.
And you know, you say you're obviously out there to play well and to win the game, but if you're going to take a shot as a starting quarterback, you could always say, hey, I played against number one. It's a nice little star to add to that little note. And you're a good guy because, you know, you as you just said, you've been around the program for the last 5 years. You played in a couple of games last year, Liberty being one of those. So I think you were at least ready for the speed of the game a little bit. But as you saw just things develop, and I know you try to simulate it in practice as much as you can, but there's really nothing, Greg, like actually being out there, especially against a team that it was extremely fast like Coastal.
Yeah, they were a good team. I was saying after the game that I have never really played against a team that was that fast. Their linebackers, their defensive linemen, everyone seemed to be quick, and even if I got rid of the ball, it seemed like someone was there on my back. During the week, the scout team does give us a great look. They try their hardest, and they get us as prepared as they can for our upcoming opponents.
It would be great, Coach, if the scout team was as fast as Coastal, right? They probably wouldn't be the scout team if they were.
They wouldn't be the scout team if they were that fast. But I'll tell you what, you know, Greg said it exactly right. They, you know, our scout team does do a terrific job, but there is no way they can simulate the speed of Coastal. They may come close to some of the other teams that we've played, but that's a special group. And you and I talked prior, Matt, about how quick they were and how fast they closed. And even when it looked like there was openings in the run game, they closed up very, very quickly.
Greg, I want to talk about the role that you have on the team, which obviously includes the game against Coastal last Saturday as the starter. But even prior to that, being the backup for the last couple of years, you know, one of the football cliches they say is the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy on the team because, you're there. And if you have to get called on, you're always ready. But in a lot of cases, you don't get called on. So, you know, you can kind of, I hate to say kick back, but I'm not sure what other way to describe it. Talk about what it's like to be, the backup guy with that kind of role.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I get to go through practice, getting reps after Brandon when he needs a break. Being a backup quarterback, it's the good part about it is you don't get hit in practice, which is probably the part I like the most. All the guys, I'm friends with all the guys on the team. It's a great team we got here. Everyone supports me, and when I was coming into the game, I had people all week coming up to me saying they believed in me, and they don't think that me playing the game will make us less of a team. So it was nice having the positive encouragement of my teammates and friends. So
they helped me get prepared for this week.
Well, it was obvious the way that you played on Saturday, Greg, that, you know, you were prepared and, you did your due diligence throughout the week to make sure that you were ready. And I thought you did a fine job on there. I mean, everybody's going to play a game, as you said, and have some things they wish they could do differently or do over again. But I think total picture, total body work, I thought you did a very, very fine job on Saturday. And so does everybody with the program.
Greg, when you think about it, you know, you are active in every game. You're the holder for PATs and for field goals, so you are active in the game. But, you know, thinking just the progression that you've had here, you know, the first couple of years, you come from a successful program up in Morris County, and then you're not really active a whole lot. So you go from playing a whole lot as a high school senior to now being and having a pretty important role over the course of the last 2 years. From a personal perspective, I know everyone would like to play more, but as you wind down your career, which will conclude on Saturday, you know, you have been a valuable member of this program. Do you feel like that even as the backup quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, you always wish that you could start. That's just college football, though. I mean, everyone in high school is the star, and when they come to this level, there are going to have to be people that are backups. And unfortunately, I was second string this year, but, I mean, I took it as best I could and practice as hard as I could to be prepared in case anything did happen, and something did happen. I got to start against Coastal Carolina, and it was a great experience, and I just took it as best I could and just made the most of it.
And that's a great lesson there, Matt and Greg. I mean, it's something that, as a coach, you always say, you've got to prepare, regardless of your position, as though you are going to be the starter and as though you are going to be the guy on the field on Saturday. And I think a lot of times players look at that and say, oh, coach is just trying to make me feel good or whatever. But then it comes to that time when that guy gets hurt and you are in that position. And, you know, you have done it the right way. You have constantly prepared to get yourself ready so that you, when that opportunity came, and you didn't know it was going to come, but opportunity came and you were ready for it. And I think there's a great lesson there for all younger players, that you never know when it's going to be your chance to step up and play.
Greg, this week, Gardner Webb coming in, and for you and a lot of your classmates, whether it's, you know, true seniors or fifth-year guys like yourself, it'll be the last time that you put on the helmet and shoulder pads. Talk about what it will be like knowing that this is the last game and an opportunity, you know, that a team like Gardner Webb won't have with their seniors to play it at home.
It's to say the least, it's going to be emotional, I think, for the seniors here. We're a close group of friends. We've been together for 5 years. Hoping to go on that field, get come away with a W, and then just enjoy the moment as a team. It's gonna be tough. I mean, football's been in all our lives for a long time. I started in sixth grade. I know some of the guys started before that. So just closing this chapter in your life, it's a difficult thing to do, but everyone has to go through it. So.
And, you know, it's an opportunity for this team, and every team is different. It doesn't matter if the players roll over from 1 year to the next, but this 2014 team will always have the distinction of being the first team that played in the Big South. And with a win on Saturday, you know, it'll be a winning season, and you'll be the team that got Monmouth that first win in league play and hopefully propels them to bigger things in the future. That would be a pretty special feeling, I would imagine, in what's been, everyone knew it was going to be a difficult transition, but a transition into a new league, a little higher level competition than Monmouth was used to over the course of the last couple of years. But at least to get that one, I think would be really important.
Yeah, that would be awesome to, as coach tells us, has been telling us the past couple weeks, to get that first win and be that first team to beat a Big South team. It's a big step for the program, and for us to be a part of that would be great. It would also, if we get this win, we'll have a winning season for the first time in a couple seasons, so that would be nice as well to end on a high note and have the next year's team moving forward on the right foot.
Greg, plans? Oh, I'm sorry, Coach, go ahead.
No, I would say, you know, I think that, you know, your group deserves this, Greg, and by your group, I mean this group of seniors deserves to go out with a winning season, and there's nothing more that, as a coaching staff and as a head coach, we'd love to see than to get this victory on Saturday, not only to finish with your careers on a winning note, to finish with a winning season, but to achieve that milestone of the first Big South Conference win. And, you know, all of those things are certainly within reach. They're certainly all attainable. And I think we're going to get it on Saturday.
Greg, talk to me real quick before we let you go. Plans for post football? I know you're a health studies major. What are you hoping to do once you get done with everything?
I actually graduated last spring, and I am in the master's program for teaching for physical education and health. So I am finishing my classes up in the spring and hopefully student teaching next fall.
Well, that's great. I would imagine that you will make a pretty good football coach once you get to that high school level.
Yeah.
I would think that's going to be part of the plan, right?
Yeah, coaching will be part of the plan, I'm sure, depending on where I end up, what district, whatnot. But coaching will probably be a part of my life in the future, I'm sure.
Well, it was a lot of fun to watch you play a little bit more of an extended period on Saturday. I thought you did a great job. Congratulations on that one, getting that first career start. Look forward to seeing you guys with a win on Saturday. Thanks for coming by, giving us some time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Greg DePue, fifth-year senior for Mars Plains, New Jersey. We step out, take a timeout. We'll come back with our second segment right after this quick pause. 60-second break on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show live on the Shore Sports Network.
Back to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Back here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on a chilly Thursday night. Interesting time of year always as Monmouth gets set to wind up their football season against Gardner-Webb, and it is basketball season as well. It's that crossover time of things going on. The fall season's coming to a close. The winter season's kicking off, and Monmouth, who opened up their basketball season this past Friday down in Morgantown, West Virginia, 64-54 losers to the Mountaineers. The head coach of the Hawks in his fourth year, King Rice, good enough to give us some time. Coach, how are you?
It's great to be here, Matt. Great to be here with Coach Callahan.
I don't want you to turn to your right and watch that ugly team from North Carolina that's playing, the Blue Devils that are on TV right now. I thought maybe Coach was setting you up. Let's bring King in, but let's make sure Duke's going to be on most of the TVs when he's here.
Nah, I wouldn't do that.
And they're pretty good this year, too. They got a bunch of freshmen that are big time, and so my boys from Carolina better be ready.
Coach, let's talk about that first one. You know, it was a game that a lot of us that were down in South Carolina, we had the computer set up, we were watching the game, listening to the game as well. And boy, I mean, right in the middle part of that second half, we all kind of sat back and said, this is one that Mom is going to get. Unfortunately, kind of slipped away, and the Mountaineers were able to get some baskets late. But it was, and I know you're going to say it's not about this, but boy, it was a great performance by your guys.
Well, our kids really believed, and the style that they played kind of helped us. A lot of teams don't like to be pressed, but with the guards that we have, I knew if they pressed us the whole time, we would have a chance. And Justin played great. Josh played really well on defense, turned it over a little bit too much. But we really handled it for about 30 minutes. And then, you know, when teams press you like that, they're counting at some point you're going to get tired. And I think foul trouble and our guys were a little bit tired to finish it off. But we're still trying to learn how to win. That would have been a great one, but we got some more coming up, and we'll continue to get better.
You got three coming up, actually, this weekend. Fans, a great opportunity to turn out to the MAC this weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Hawks playing part of a little tournament that's all taking place at the MAC. Friday against Bethune-Cookman at 7:30. Saturday, 7:30 against Central Connecticut State. And Sunday afternoon against Towson. So you don't have to wait all that long, and it's nice early on in the season. You play that one on Friday, and you get that week now of practice. But then three in a row, I would imagine after the weekend, you'll have a pretty good indication, even though it's pretty early in the year, just exactly maybe what the direction of this basketball team could be.
Well, I'm not sure we will, but we'll know the guys that will be frontline guys. We'll know the guys, because right now we're still trying to figure out combinations, who should be in with who. I think after this weekend, we probably will settle in a little bit more. But it is a long season. Red hasn't been 100% yet. Max has been down and is still down. So we'll do what we have to do until we get everybody out there healthy. And the thing with this team, I think we'll continue to get better throughout the year. And I have to remain patient and working to get them where we need to get to.
Well, Coach, you and I always talk about a lot of different things. And, you know, I think that, you know, is you play a game as you did at West Virginia, and we've played teams where we've had to play up against bigger competition. You know, I know you're going to look at that game and try to take the positives out of it, not just the final score, but look at what we did well and then continue to build on that, and almost like compounding interest in the financial thing. Take the good things, put it in the bank, let the interest grow, and then as that continues to go through the season a couple of games down the line, you're going to be
there's going to be some things that you are going to be really good at. And I can see, I didn't get to watch a lot of your game. I saw a little on the computer, but I can see it going that direction with this group.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you saying that. And you see us out there a lot. You get to see us practice. And our kids are working hard at it. The guys really want to have a good season. They put in a tremendous amount of work throughout the year. And now it's time for them to show all the work that they put in. We haven't been able to turn the corner yet, but I think this is the year. I think this is the year with these kids, just because we're a tight group, we're a little bit older. The younger guys grew up last year, and now I'm just telling them, we're older guys now.
Right.
All right? We've been through it. We know what to expect. And now we have to be the hardest playing team, and then our skill set should show up within that.
Well, you seem to have a good mix, too, of guys that have been with you for a couple of years now, and then some new guys that you brought in that you can integrate into the mix a little bit. And just from my observations from afar, up on the third level when you guys are down there on the court, it seems like there's almost a seamless transition between the two. It's not like the new guys and the veteran guys. It's kind of... it's just a team, and you can't say, oh, this guy's a first year here and this guy's been with me from three.
Well, I've been here now, and we really work as a team. Everything we do, we want to do together. We talk about being together, doing it for each other, doing it for the guy next to you, doing it for your brother. And when we bring new guys in, usually when they come on a visit, our kids are the ones that get them to come.
Right.
Okay? Our kids are the one. And if our kids ever told us, Coach, this kid doesn't fit, we probably wouldn't take him. So when guys get to school, we put our arms around them as a group, because we tried to get them to come, and now once they get here, even though we're going to compete for spots, we're brothers, and we need to put our arms around each other.
I want to talk about, it kind of leads into some stuff. You know, you've acquired a couple of transfers over the course of the last season. And, you know, as guys started to sign their national letters of intent over the course of the last week, it seems as if Monmouth is really making some inroads into some of the bigger programs, not just on the East Coast, but I say even more specifically into New Jersey. You know, that door now has been opened where Monmouth is being more welcomed, where maybe when you got here, It was not glued shut, but shut pretty tight.
It was definitely shut pretty tight. And I give credit to my assistant coaches. We've really worked hard in the state of New Jersey. There's still more things that we need to do, but we are here. We have basically the same staff. We're going out and seeing everybody. We'd love to have a bunch of Jersey guys on our team. We're going to continue to work, but we're just going to keep knocking that door open where we can. Some places aren't going to open the door. We are going to understand that and move on to different places. And it's just great when you see your hard work pay off. And now we're breaking through in New Jersey.
When you talk about the program, Coach, and we're here with King Rice on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show, Hawks opened up last Friday against West Virginia. This weekend, three games all at home, Friday and Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. You're in your fourth year now. So, you know, there's obviously that transition from one system to another. Do you feel comfortable that the players that are on your roster right now basically realize, you know, not that we've got Coach Rice figured out, but we've got a system kind of figured out. You know, this now essentially has become your team with all of your guys.
Mm-hmm. I think our kids have. I think they believe in it. I think they enjoy the style that we play. At times we go a little too fast, and we're working on that, because I'd rather have better execution than just going fast. The first 2 years, I wasn't as caught up on execution. I needed them to go fast to get the change in place. Well, now we need to slow down and execute. And as coach sitting next to Coach Callahan, execution in football, he has 11 guys to get executing on every play. We have five. And we have to be able to communicate on offense and execute our stuff. We have kids that can score the ball, and we run good stuff. But sometimes we go too fast, so we miss screens and miss our assignments, and then we're not as good on offense. We're slowing down and executing better, and now the kids' talents are going to shine through more.
And it's amazing how, even though the sports of football and basketball are kind of opposite and different, the same coaching things apply to both sports. I mean, I tell our guys all the time, we have to play fast, but we have to play smart.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes smarter means going a little bit slower, although you're saying play fast all the time. Hey, I want you going full speed, but I want you smart about what you're doing. And I can see the similarities there, Coach, in between the two.
Great non-conference schedule before league play, which kind of gets an early start in December before really getting up and running in January. We'll break it down into two. Coach, obviously you have never shied away from scheduling some big non-conference opponents. Just played at West Virginia. You've got SMU and Maryland coming up. Rutgers at home, Wagner and St. Francis from the old NEC days, Fordham on the schedule. I mean, it's a good way to kind of get those guys ready for MAC conference play.
Well, since I've been here, I've said we were going to schedule up. We've done that. We haven't had the success that we would like to on the floor, but I think we're going to start seeing that now. That was the first time since I've been here playing a high major school that it was under 30 points. It's taken some time to get to that, and I truly feel, and I know when I shook Coach Huggins' hands the other night, I felt like we should have won that game. We didn't finish it, but we played well enough to put ourselves in position to win it. And the part that was good for me was I know Coach Huggins well, and he told me, King, you guys were so prepared, you guys were ready, you guys are going to have a good year. But then when you shake the kids' hands, and the kids give you a hug. You're the opposing coach, and I don't know their kids. Their kids hug me because I think they felt like they were lucky to get out of that game with a win. That made me feel good because the kids in the game respected what we were doing. Coach Huggins respected our plan, how we executed it. So we've made giant steps, and I don't tell my kids good job enough. But I told him after that game, we really left everything out on the floor. No reason to hang your head.
League play will open that first weekend of December. Hawks will be at Marist, back home for Iona on Thursday, the 4th of December, Sunday the 7th. Picked 6th in the preseason poll this year, which I know coaches just take that piece of paper and crinkle it up and throw it out. But for us in the media, it's fun to talk about. But bigger things are expected from you and your team in the second year, now fully entrenched in MAC conference play.
Well, I think that's a credit to our kids also, okay? Last year, and our school, we stepped up. We stepped up in conference, and last year, resounding picked 11th. Last place, everybody said it. All the coaches, everybody said 11th. We finished 9th. So we did better than people thought. Now we're 6th, okay? So in 1 year, we moved up half the league. If we continue to strive for what we're supposed to be, next year we'll be one of the top two teams in the league. And that's huge. Jumping in the MAC and moving up within 3 years from the last place team to a team that's going to be picked in the top two or three, I'm excited about the direction we're heading in.
It's nice, too, and I see the guys at football and all the sports here on campus, and both of you can comment on this. Coach, you've been at the school for 22 years, and King, with your guys being part of the Monmouth athletic community, I see the basketball players at just about every possible thing. I mean, you make those guys go to everything. I mean, if there's a poetry reading on campus, I think they got to go. But it's nice to see the support that the student athletes give back and forth to the other programs.
Well, you know, Coach does a great job, as you mentioned, Matt, with getting his players out to all the other athletic events. And we try to do the same thing, get our guys in that end zone section for the basketball games and have them go out and support, you know, not only the basketball team, but all the athletic teams. And I think the athletes at Monmouth are a very tight-knit community. The 500 or so athletes that we have here at the school have a very positive chemistry that exists between them. And it's not just going and seeing them perform. Yeah, that's the good part. You want to support them. But off the court, in the dining hall, in the resident halls, they are a very close group.
And they're friends.
Yeah.
My guys are friends with the football players, the soccer players, the baseball players. Field hockey, the women's soccer team.
Easy.
We're friends with all of them.
I know where we're going there.
No, and it's just, it's a fun campus, and the kids really, really do support each other, but they hang out together. As Coach was saying, my kids hang out with other athletes on campus. The cool part is they want to go support each other.
Right.
When I first got here, it was mandatory. It was on. I was making them go when I first got here. I don't make them go anymore. I don't make them go. And now the leaders on our team know that I would like them to be there, so they still go. And that's showing that they've grown up and they enjoy the company of the other kids.
And it's great just in the building, too, when I'm in the MAC in the morning as we're getting ready for our meetings and practice. And, you know, I run across coaches, players, or the lacrosse team is in there, or whoever baseball team's in there as you're going through the different parts, you know, traveling through the building. They're always, hey, coach, what's up? Hey, how we doing? You know, you got these guys are baseball's lifting. Lacrosse is out conditioning. Coaches' guys are on the court. Our guys are going into meetings. It's busy in there at 7 a.m. It's busy.
It's very busy, and that's what makes our school great. It's the students, and they're close to each other. They support each other. We just want to get everybody on campus, all the deans, all the professors, everybody come for all the sports, okay, for the football games. We have a big one this weekend for the basketball games. We just everybody on campus come, and then we have sellouts. We have sellouts if we just get the Monmouth people to come to the games, sellouts in every building, and that would help every team.
Coach, one more before we let you go, and I'd be remiss without mentioning this. As you get set for a big weekend of three games at home, congratulations on the new contract extension. I know from what I understand, it was almost a surprise to you, but I know that and having dealt with you for the last several years since you've been here, I know that that vote of confidence certainly means a lot to you.
It definitely does. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to my wife, my family, my staff. I always say I feel like I'm the luckiest guy to be the coach here for a lot of different reasons. Monmouth is a great institution, but my boss is the best. Dr. McNeil is the best boss to have. I haven't had a lot of bosses. She is the best boss in the world, and I'm fortunate that I get to work for her and Dr. Brown. It was a surprise because when I got hired, Maryland, Dr. McNeil told me at the end of 5 years we would talk about it. And she totally felt like after those 5 years we would have it in a place to be able to do something. She felt like it was time to do it sooner. So that caught me off guard a little bit. I'm extremely happy. She's been loyal to me. I'm very, very loyal to Dr. McNeil and Monmouth. And once again, I feel like I'm the luckiest coach. I'm blessed. And I get to be here at the Shore. My son's turning 3 tomorrow. He was born in New Jersey. Right. My other son is going to high school in New Jersey. So this will be, after these 5 years coming up, it will be the place that I've lived in the second longest outside of Binghamton, New York. That means a lot to me, okay? And I'm thankful to everybody at Monmouth. Please support these kids that are out there, and I'm lucky to be the coach.
Well, that's well said, and it's a pleasure having you on the show. Looking forward to seeing you guys play this weekend. Again, for ticket information, go to MonmouthHawks.com. The season opener coming up on Friday, a home opener, I should say, coming on Friday. 3 games this weekend, all at home. Coach, continued success. Looking forward to seeing you guys play. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much, and let's go out Saturday for Coach Callahan. We know we got a big one out there. The kids have been awesome on campus. They've been awesome on the field. Let's really, really, really fill the stands on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
Take a quick break. We'll make this just a 30-second timeout. Come back with our final spot of the night. Senior linebacker Dan Sullivan is in the house. We're back right after this quick pause on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show.
This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Final segment here of the night. We'll conclude it with our last interview and a quick preview looking ahead to Gardner Webb, the running Bulldogs in town on Saturday afternoon as Monmouth will host Gardner Webb, both teams looking for their first Big South win of the year. Coming in at a very robust 6'2", what about 220, Sully? 220?
Yeah. Around that.
I'm getting right in. I like to get right in on you a little bit when I can about I tease you. Dan Sullivan is good enough to give us some time here. Fifth-year senior linebacker from Manasquan, New Jersey. First of all, how are you? Good to have you on the show.
Good. Getting over a little stomach virus today. So, but I mean, finally getting some food down, so I'll be able to practice tomorrow.
Can you imagine that on Saturday afternoon it will be your last game here at Monmouth? It seems like just yesterday you were a freshman running around.
Yeah, no, it's definitely very emotional. I didn't realize that it was coming to an end until the meeting on Sunday when, like, they started talking about it and everything, and they were like, you know, what's your most important memory of football? And people were talking about high school and stuff, and then I was like, oh, my God, like, Villanova's 4 years ago. And then I started thinking about all the games I've played and all the big games, all the most meaningful games that were, like, great for the program, such as, like, Villanova, things like that. And then to think that Big South getting a win, really putting that down. I don't know. It's so important this weekend.
It would be a great way to finish up, wouldn't it, Dan, to get the program's, you know, first Big South Conference win, you know, to finish with a winning record, all those things. And to send your group of seniors, you've got fourth and fifth year guys out on a winning note. I think that would be most special if we can get that done on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the most important goal for our team right now.
When you think about it, Dan, you know, when you came here now 5 years ago, five seasons ago, you've been a guy that has really seen the program kind of evolve, you know, from an NEC team to making those steps forward. And I'm sure when you came here, you would have signed up for it knowing it going in. But what a way for you guys to be able to leave a mark on this football program, being the first team that played in the Big South and looking for that win on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when I came here as a freshman, the environment, it was a good environment and everything, but there were definitely changes that needed to be made. And the way our program, we've completely evolved from completely over the top. I mean, the way the fifth years lead this team right now, our record may not show it, but I'm telling you right now, we have an incredible group of guys, incredible young group of guys, and I mean, the future of Monmouth is going to be very bright.
Well, it's, you know, as you speak about this fifth-year group, Danny, it's also a group that is taking us and made the transition from the NEC into the Big South. Last year we spent as an independent. We got an opportunity to go out and play at Montana State and go down and play Liberty. And then we all were pointing toward this season in the Big South. And I think, you know, that this older group, the leadership that we have, has done a terrific job of ushering us into the Big South era.
You know, so you've been a guy that, and I remember covering you back in high school, you've been a guy that I'll say plays with a lot of passion and plays with an edge to himself. And even in a loss last week against Coastal Carolina, man, did I think you had a good game. And you just have that fire and passion, which makes it, as a broadcaster and I'm sure as a coaching staff too, makes it a lot of fun to see you when you're out there on the field. But that's who you are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was plagued this year with a lot of injuries, a lot of things that, you know, came my way, and I was very unfortunate to have. But, I mean, to be able to go out there and finally be healthy and everything and run around and to realize that it's coming to an end, I mean, I left it all on the field, and that's what's going to happen this Saturday. I'm going to leave it all on the field.
Well, it certainly showed last Saturday down at Coastal Carolina. I think you had a terrific ball game, Dan, in on a number of tackles, two sacks, a couple of tackles for loss. I thought it was a very, very good performance on your part, and it was good to see you completely healthy again. I know you had the high ankle sprain early in the season that really didn't go away for 4 or 5 weeks there, and you know, kind of lingered a long time, but now that you're completely healthy, it showed in your play on Saturday.
You know what the interesting thing to this whole story of you being here, Dan, is that, you know, the relationship that you have with Coach Callahan. You know, you're from Manasquan, Coach Callahan's son from Manasquan. You guys played together. Neil Sterling was a part of that team. I mean, I'm sure at some points, you know, during the part of your recruitment, it was, it's easy for me to go to Monmouth because I'm just so familiar with the guy who's the head coach.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I knew that Monmouth was the place I wanted to go. Even when all the bigger schools were coming to me and everything, I talked to my brother, and I really got I got a feel for what Monmouth was going to be like. And especially my parents, like my dad, he told me what kind of program I was going into. He's like, you're gonna play for a great coaching staff. He was like, they really care about you. He was like, they don't just care about football, they care about your well-being. And then he just went on to tell me, like, what I was going to have when I went to Monmouth. And I got everything out of it. Like, I got everything that I expected coming to Monmouth. It's been great.
And it's funny, Matt, you talked about how Dan played with my son, Kevin, and also with Neil Sterling. You know, Kev still asks me every week how Sully's doing. He kind of had to take care of him a little bit in high school. He'll ask me every week, how's Sully doing, Dad? How's Sully doing? So we talk about that each week before the games and all that and midweek. And so he's still looking out for you, still wondering how things are going with you, Dan.
Dan, talk about a little bit, as we had Greg on before, your plans once the playing days are done. What are you looking forward to doing?
When I'm done with football in college, I'm definitely going to try to take it to the next level. I'm going to see how the pro days work out and everything like that. I've always had great numbers with that. But when I'm done with football, when my football career is over, I want to be a police officer. I'll go to the academy, eventually hopefully take it into being a trooper. But, I mean, take it right into the academy, be a police officer, take that route.
Protect and serve.
Yes, exactly.
It's been a lot of fun. You know, again, I have the opportunity to do high school football around and my job here at Monmouth. When I can have a player that I covered in high school and then cover him in college, it's been fun watching you play and develop, and want to wish you nothing but the best on Saturday afternoon. Enjoy putting the pads on one more time and get that first Big South win. I think it will really do wonders for the program, where in a couple of years, when you come back in as alum, you can say, I was part of that team that started things moving forward.
That's exactly what I'm hoping for. We're going to be the first team to take a win in the Big South.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Dan Sullivan, good enough to give us some time. We've got a minute or two to spare here. Coach, why don't we talk about Gardner-Webb, the team that Monmouth will play this week in the series as the season concludes on Saturday afternoon. 12 o'clock kickoff for those of you who might be joining us late. Gardner-Webb 4-7 so far in the year, 0-4 in Big South play. It's an opportunity for both teams to come away with a win.
It's a great opportunity. I know our guys are really looking forward to it. You heard both guys talk about, you know, wanting to end on a winning note and get that first Big South Conference victory.
Good luck to Rob McCourt and the men's soccer team. They will play an NCAA tournament game on Thursday. We're back next Tuesday to put a cap on this football season. Come on out and see the Hawks this week against Gardner-Webb. For Kevin Callahan, I'm Matt Harmon, saying so long from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End.
This has been the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Join us again next Tuesday when we broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End section of Long Branch and talk Hawks football. For more on Monmouth football, visit www.monmouthhawks.com.